Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. When the debt collector calls and calls and calls and calls, it can be really, really, really stressful, especially if you don't know what your rights are, what collection agencies can legally do or not do. I heard of a case of where one said they were going to file a bankruptcy order on a client. Can they do that? I don't even know. To take us through some of their do's and don'ts, we're joined by Carol Newbury-Mitchell. She is a licensed insolvency trustee with MNP LTD, MNP Limited. Hello there.
Hi there, Bruce.
What is a collection agency for those people who don't know?
Yes, a collection agency is a company, it's a business that is hired by other businesses, usually lenders or people who are in the game of lending people money, to collect debts on their behalf. They can also sometimes be collecting for themselves because sometimes they also purchase debt from those same companies.
And they make their money by what? Earning a commission on the money they collect?
Yes, usually exactly a commission.
So I referenced this case of where a collection agency said that they would file a bankruptcy order if the client didn't do X or Y. Could they do that? Would they do that?
Well, yeah, I think that's two really different things. So it's that's something I haven't actually heard before either. And I'm even in the bankruptcy business, as you know. But I guess down the road, they could do that. But basically, what it would require is the collection agency or perhaps the original creditor taking legal action against you. So whether that's first going to court to get issue a statement of claim and get a judgment against you, or, you know, I guess they could apply to court to get a bankruptcy order. But I think the cost of either of those things in most circumstances is usually much higher than the debt that they're collecting. And I would say, you know, those are things that they can threaten, but the likelihood of taking action on them is going to be dependent on those individual circumstances.
So the phone rings, you answer the call. What can the collection agencies say? What can they do? What can they say?
So of course there, you know, what you should do if you're the person receiving the call is you should first confirm who you're speaking to. You know, if they're calling in respect of a debt that you've never heard of, that you're unaware of, the first thing you should do is request confirmation of that debt in writing. So you can take a look at it and you can understand whether this debt seems to belong to you and whether you're actually responsible for it. You also want to make sure that you're talking to an actual collection agency, because unfortunately there are a lot of people out there that may misrepresent who they are and what business they're from. And so you want to make sure that it is actually a registered collection agency.
So you would say to them, thank you for your call. Can I get your name, your agency, your phone number, and can you mail me a copy of the debt that you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. In writing is really important for the collection agency business because you actually have a lot of rights as an individual to request information in writing. And it's actually one of the ways that you can get them to stop calling you is to say, I want all future correspondence to come to me in writing. And you are legally allowed to do that.
Now, they can't call you any time of the day or night. What are the boundaries in which they can be in contact and how many times can they call?
Yeah. So in Ontario, I can speak to that more directly, but in Ontario, they're allowed to call you more than 3 times in 7 days. But what I want to point out is that it's actually make contact 3 times in 7 days. So if they call you and you don't answer, that's not contact. So we get a lot of people coming to our office and saying, you know, they're calling me 7 times a day and I'm ignoring them and not answering the phone. Well, one of the reasons why they're allowed to keep calling you is because there's no contact made. And so that's something to understand. It isn't they can call you 3 times in 7 days, it's they can make contact 3 times in 7 days. So they also can't call you on statutory holidays. And I think the hours are between 7 and 9. On Monday to Saturday and Sundays 1 to 7, I think it is.
Am I correct in inferring that you recommend clients pick up the phone and answer that call?
Yeah, if they're not in a legal proceeding, such as a bankruptcy or a consumer proposal, I do recommend they pick up the phone because they can confirm those details, find out if this debt belongs to them, if it's a debt they need to deal with, find out who the collection agency is, and they can actually then, that's a contact. And so it's actually going to reduce the number of calls that they're getting.
I've also heard many examples of people who have items in collections that they didn't know about. And so by not answering those calls, they might not find out about something that is quite important to them when it comes to their it comes to their credit score. And sometimes they couldn't pay it, or sometimes they just didn't know. They moved to a different house and they just didn't get the envelope or whatever.
That's what I was just going to say, is the collection agency is also actually required to notify you in writing. And so people change their addresses a lot more than they change their phone numbers. So you may not be aware of a collection if it's just been done by mail, if you're not answering the phone.
When does this conversation become harassment? What, as the person on the receiving end, could I listen for? Are they allowed to berate me? Are they allowed to call me names?
No, absolutely not. So that's definitely one of the laws, is that they are not allowed to use obscene language, harass you. They can't, you know, just like you were kind of asked about in the beginning, they can't misrepresent what they're able to do. So for example, they can't threaten you with arrest. They're not allowed to charge you any collection fees. They can contact your employer, but only for the purposes of confirming your employment. They're not allowed to just repeatedly call and harass you at your place of employment. Mm. They're also allowed to call family members, but again, only to confirm your contact information, not to harass them to pay your debt.
What would you say about what happens after you move into a legal proceeding, like a consumer proposal or a bankruptcy? Do those calls, should those calls stop?
Yeah. So legally, they are required to stop, because what gets put in place is a legal term, a stay of proceedings gets put in place, and no legal action is allowed to continue against you, which includes collection calls. Now, practically speaking, if at the time that someone files a proposal or bankruptcy, there might be a lot of different collection agencies contacting them. And sometimes the original creditor actually factors it out to a number of different collection agencies. And so it sometimes is difficult to capture every single one. So we often say, you know, if at a couple of weeks after you filed your bankruptcy or proposal, you're still receiving calls, pick up the phone. If it's not, doesn't cause you too much stress, pick up the phone, get exactly what we discussed earlier, get the company name, their contact information, details on the original debt, and then pass that on to us, and we will get in touch with them, and they should not have to deal with them for another moment after that.
For clients who are in this circumstance, it's, as I know, as you know, it is brutally stressful for these humans, and there is a real interest to get these calls to stop. However, in some cases, when you look at the big picture of their financials, paying $150 to one lender just to get it them to stop calling you isn't really the most appropriate next step. It could be that they just let that one linger and pay off, you know, something else, but you sort of need to have a full sense of what's going on in order to provide advice on that front. Mm-hmm. For people who are receiving those calls, what advice would you have for them to determine whether they should pay the $150 or $1,000 versus pay someone else who may not have as aggressive a collection agency working on their side?
Yeah, I think they need to sit down and look at their entire financial situation, possibly with a professional such as myself, a licensed insolvency trustee, because we will be able to go over their entire financial situation, who all their creditors, and determine what the best option would be for them given their other information like their income and their assets, et cetera. And sometimes that includes us. The best option includes us filing a bankruptcy or a proposal. Sometimes the best option is going with something like a debt consolidation plan. And sometimes it is just determining which creditors to deal with in which priority, and they go about their business and they're able to settle their debt that way.
Now, one of the other dynamics that people don't have a real appreciation of is that some of this is negotiable. So with nonprofit credit counseling agencies, we negotiate lower rates. With a licensed insolvency trustee, you would be able to negotiate a consumer proposal that has your client not pay 100 cents on the dollar, often quite a bit less than that. Mm. What wisdom do you have on how to negotiate? What is negotiable?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Is there are you'll I think people also often find when they're dealing with collection agencies is that sometimes the collection agency shows up and says, well, the debt is 6,000, but we'll take three. And again, looking at the bigger picture of their entire financial situation, if that's the only debt that's causing them problems and they can negotiate something that works for them with that creditor, that collection agency, you know, that might work in that situation. And, you know, in that situation, and the only caution I would say is get it in writing, get the agreement in writing from the collection agency. But for most people, I think that are usually in this position, they do need to negotiate probably a plan for all of their debts. And sometimes that's hard to do outside of, like you mentioned, a not-for-profit credit counselor, or let's say a proposal or a bankruptcy.
Carol, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me, Bruce.
Carol Newbury Mitchell is a licensed insolvency trustee with MNP Limited, LTD. And our conversation was around collection agencies, what they can do, what they can't. And I think Carol and I would be in full agreement when we say to everyone who is on the receiving end of those calls, pick up the phone, call an LIT, licensed insolvency trustee, call a nonprofit credit counselor. There are many, many, many resources out there such that you do not have to have those conversations or have a lack of clarity on what your next steps could be.